Do you ever have a dream that you really, really hoped did not come true? I had one of those last night. And you were all in it. And we were all here together. And it was about 8 minutes from now, and you were all asleep. That was terrible. I think it's time to adjust the medication again. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. Anybody know why we do that today? On this date? All right, here's a little Catholic trivia. Actually, it's not just Roman Catholic. All of the Orthodox churches as well celebrate this feast on this date, because it marks the dedication of the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. That church is understood to be over the place where the crucifixion and the resurrection occurred. It was in the early 4th century that the church was being built, and as they were excavating, taking out an old Greek temple, they found 3 crosses. And tradition has it that when a woman who was dying touched one of them, she was healed. And that was identified as the cross on which Jesus died. That's why we celebrate this today. But what does it mean, the exaltation of the cross? To exalt is to raise someone or something to a higher rank or a place of greater power. And my favorite definition is to exalt is to dignify. That's what Jesus did for the cross. He gave what had been the instrument of the most cruel, humiliating public death, dignity. What had been the sign of the most horrifying and complete failure and humiliation, he gave to that a complete transformation. It became the sign of new life and triumph of life over evil. It became a beacon of hope instead of a messenger of terror. Father Bill Bausch is a parish priest on the East Coast, and he's a wonderful writer. He has suggested recently that we have come to take the cross too lightly because we are so used to it as a signal of hope that we forget. We no longer experience shock at the pain and cruelty that it represents. A Dominican priest friend of mine tells a story about when he was a seminarian in Berkeley. A few hours each week he would work in a religious goods store. And one bright Saturday morning, a young woman of college age walked in and said she was looking for a cross to wear. So he took her over to the display where lots of crosses were hanging. And she turned to him and said, "Oh, no, 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 I want the one with the little man on it." Does that break your heart? Make you laugh and break your heart all at the same time? It's 2,000 years later, and not everyone has gotten the message. Huh? We still have a long way to go in carrying the message. Which brings us to the first reading that we heard today from Numbers. That really resonates with certain times in my life, and I think it might resonate with certain times in yours. The Jewish people are on their great trek through the desert, and they utter what seems like the biblical version of the phrase that has been spoken in every family car in history. Are we there yet? And I'd like a Happy Meal, please. Then the story goes that the people are beset by snakes that have a fatal bite. So they come to Moses, and in prayer Moses hears God tell him to lift up a serpent on a pole so that all who look on it can be saved from death. This is an image, a dual image, in Hebrew scripture and in Christian scripture of great depth and weight. The serpent that is a symbol of both life and of death. John's gospel refers directly to this scene today. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee who has snuck off by night to talk with Jesus. And Jesus is telling him, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Everyone who believes in him. Now, this is John's gospel, and believe and belief in John's gospel carry a very active, moving out into the world kind of meaning. It's not a simple intellectual concept. It's not everyone who calls Jesus Lord, but everyone who trusts in him radically. Everyone who trusts with him in the boundless love of God, trusting that every act of selfless love is a movement closer to unity with God and a step in line with the mission that God has given to each one of us individually and uniquely, to be instruments of God's provision and mercy in this time and place. To look upon Jesus lifted up has a double meaning. We're called to look on him crucified, lifted up on the cross, and to look on him lifted up in his resurrection, exalted by the Father, and opening up for us the gate to the eternal life of divine love. Look on Jesus crucified. He's crucified not because of the demand of some vengeful God who wants some sort of payback for our sins. He's crucified by the fear and jealousy and corruption of the human power structure of his day. He's not the victim of his Father's wrath. He submits himself to the inevitable outcome of his perfect, complete, loving human life as it comes in contact with the greed and the cruelty of humanity that has turned away from God. Now, look on Jesus lifted up in resurrection. This is Jesus who went to his death without any expectation of reward. You heard it in the second reading. He emptied himself with no view toward gaining anything for himself as a result. I don't think God was somehow running around the base of the cross, yelling up, "Just a little longer, just a little longer. And we'll all take a nice break. We'll have a tall, cold one, and we'll let some angels fan us on a cloud somewhere." I don't think that's what was happening. Jesus' full, unlimited willingness to give himself was the key to his resurrection. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus given in the incarnation, given in the crucifixion, and restored to us in his resurrection. It sounds a little like the language in Genesis, where God tells Abraham, "Take your son, Isaac, your only one whom you love." You know the story, the altar of sacrifice. God does not take Isaac's life, but we took Jesus' life. And God restores that to us. This is what we celebrate, in part, when we celebrate the exaltation of the cross, this unending mercy. Now you have homework for this week. Honor this feast. Honor the cross of Christ. If it's slipped in significance a little bit in your life, bring it back. If you have a crucifix, and I hope you do, somewhere in your home, dust it off. See the dignity that Jesus gave that instrument of terror. When you say a prayer before your meal, even if you're in public, make the sign of the cross. Not to aggrandize yourself, but to be a witness to the honor that it is due. And finally, honor the dignity of that cross by doing what Jesus gave us to do. Carry some real, tangible bit of the love and mercy of God to those in our community, in our world, who are being crucified today by the failings of our humanity.